Hi, this is Bob's dad, and I'm wondering why you're listening to Hook, Line, and Smiley.
It's been a little long day. Don't get in my way. It's time to have a little fun. Everybody say, whoa!
Okay, we're recording this podcast upstairs, and I just ran downstairs because we put in new carpet upstairs, and we told the kids that they couldn't have food up here. And I realized I'm in trench room, and I realized he's going to be home in a little bit, and I brought my salad up here, so I had to run it down. And then I ran back up here, we hit record, and I'm out of breath. Like, I am the first part of this podcast is going to sound like an obscene phone call. Like, it's not.
Do we live on the fourth floor?
We live on a story and a half.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we didn't need to tell everybody. Make them think that we live on like a eight high rise.
Yeah, I was like, how many flights is it to the kitchen?
It's a good 12 steps.
Mm-hmm.
And that's plus, what's our sea level? Like we're
below.
It's pretty high, isn't it? Like, mm-hmm. No,
I think it's eight.
I'm not gonna get any sympathy. You should be nice to me. Who put meat on the table this week?
Well, I did all the cooking, so.
Okay, who brought the meat in from the wild? I went back and listened to 48.
Crazy
meat? Okay, who brought some of the meat in?
You did, baby.
Where's your Christmas spirit and, you know, lifting one another up?
It's in the bloodstains on my back patio.
Because I went back. And so, oh, by the way, welcome to episode 49 of Hook, Line, and Smiley. And we want to thank Mac Powell and the family reunion for starting our podcast off correctly, which is a rockin'. And that
with
is
a
what
woo-hoo.
With a big old woo.
I'm Sarah Smiley, and this is my co-host, Bob Smiley.
That's right.
Renowned stand-up comedian, male model, and dishwasher.
And stair climber. If I have enough time.
I don't know about that.
I really got to get back into shape. I did go to my parents' ranch for like 5 days, and I didn't work out, and I hunted like nonstop and mm-hmm. worked on my third average boy book. But I'm at the age, 32, where if I don't work out all the time, I get so out of shape. And mm-hmm. and then I came back and we had Thanksgiving, and I didn't really work out. During that time, I did some forklifts, but that was about it.
I don't think that counts.
But yeah, it was a successful hunt. It was great. Anyway, that's all we're going to say about hunting, because I know that not everybody likes to do it. So if you fast forwarded, you can now stop hitting the 15-second forward button because we have big news for our Smilers.
We do have big news.
Yes. You want to tell them? You're supposed to tell everybody after three
well,
months, right?
As enamored as I am with you, my co-host, we do sometimes get into certain quandaries on topics. We sometimes run out of things to say. We also, sometimes we just need some, you know, some input. And we need to hear other people's woo and poo moments. I mean, I know you think we're happy all the time, Smilers, but sometimes we need the encouragement as well. So we thought, what a better way to interact with our loyal and loving followers than a phone line. Their very own dedicated 24/7 phone line.
Yeah, and there are 2 sevens in the number. So it is definitely 24/7.
So they can call this phone number, Bob, anytime and leave us a message.
That's correct. And what is the phone number, Sarah?
I don't know if you were going to write that down.
760-576 4532. You can call and leave us any kind of story. If it's long, if it's over 30 seconds, probably not going to make it on the podcast, but you can ask us questions, tell us your woo and poo moments of the week. You can give us a liner like, hey, this is Mac Powell and you're listening to Hook, Line, and Smiley, or whatever you want to do. The phone line is yours.
So tell us that number again. I have a feeling there's a wonderful acronym tucked inside.
You know what? Let me look at it. I'm looking at 760-576-4532, and I'm realizing that it's actually 760-5-SMILE-2.
So if what you do you know?
All right, the area code is 760 And then we have five boys. And then despite the five boys, we have a smile. And then there's two of us. So that's how we came up with the number. So you guys can call and leave us just all kinds of good stories and stuff like that. And we may or may not use your voice on a future podcast.
Yay!
So that's
I'm excited about that. I love the interaction. So,
well, I just put it on my Instagram story yesterday, and we already got a couple of voicemails. So we did get your stuff. We're just not ready to use it yet. It'll probably appear next week because we have a lot of stuff going on today. Because your week is full of woo. So let's go ahead and jump into that. What's your woo moment of the week, baby?
It is so full of woo. My woo moment this week is Christmas decorations. Just getting to start decorating, getting the tree out. There was incidentally a poo moment with that. I'll get to that later. But
can I just say that Hobby Lobby yesterday put out a sign that said, "We're sorry, we're empty. Sarah Smiley was here."
It was not that bad. I have been accruing things. I told you I saved up some money, and I've been accruing things over the last really several months. So when I pull it all out and you see all the boxes and bags and tissue and containers, it does look bad, but it's turned into a beautiful home. We were sitting by the fireplace last night, and it's like the little trees and the big tree and the candle going and the wassail brewing. And
you hired an actual Santa to just sit in the corner in case anybody thinks it's something they want. It is very thorough. I didn't know that snow machines could actually be rented out for private stuff, but yeah.
You're welcome.
It is great. We are in the huge festivities, and you did a great job decorating the house, but every box that you opened, I was like, oh, okay. I was trying to secretly price it in my head, and finally I gave up. It was like the price was right, only I was going to lose.
Oh, I don't pay 25% of what retail is. So I always shop really aggressively. You would be, well, I can't say to you because you wouldn't understand or appreciate it, but if I told another woman what I decorated this house for you, they'd be astounded.
You did say something that made me love you even more. You said, "I was able to get the tire marks off the reef." So I was like, okay, she didn't buy everything. Like, she accrued stuff. So yeah, it is a very warm winter wonderland here in Texas.
It is.
What, 72 degrees?
No, it's actually chilly right now. We have a 50-degree day.
Well, that's cool. So that's your woo moment is buying out Hobby Lobby and moving over to our house?
You don't get to reframe my woo moment into a poo moment. That's so rude.
No, it is a woo moment because our house is – because when I was a single dad, that first Christmas especially, I asked the kids, I was like, do you guys want a Christmas tree? Like, I just didn't know what to do because we were all, you know, it just was a weird time. And Coulter wanted the Charlie Brown tree, just a little one. And that's what we ended up doing. So we didn't have
hardly. So sad.
Yeah. But I mean, it was kind of fun. And then the next year we had like what, 18, we went to Walmart.
You pretty much went bipolar.
Yeah. Coulter and I went to Walmart the second year I was a single dad, and they were throwing away Christmas trees like on the 21st or maybe the 19th or something. And they were just throwing them all away. So I said, hey, are these just free? And they were like, yeah, they'd already put a bunch in the dumpster. So we got about 30 of them. They were small, but you know, they were like 4 to 5.5 foot tall. And so we set up, I can't remember, like 15 to 20 in our house. And then the rest outside on the back porch. And it was
15 to 20 live trees in your house. That like gives me anxiety even thinking about it.
Oh, it smelled so good. After having just four of us and, you know, four boys in the house, it smelled so good.
I know, but if somebody dropped a match, y'all were going to go up in flames internally.
We did find out that the Christmas trees burn instantly. Like, because we decided to burn the ones, you know, whenever it was, after Christmas was over, about March, we decided to get rid of the trees. And so we had a little homemade fire pit outside, and I was like, hey, we'll just throw them on this, and you know, they'll slowly burn and it'll be, you know, like a campfire, and the smoke will probably smell good. And I put the first one on and it went just like that. Like, you remember in Christmas Vacation where the tree went up?
Yes.
It was like, there were no special effects. during that movie.
Exactly. That was more like an explosion a little bit too, because of the sap, right?
Yeah, I don't know. It went up so
fire-ish.
And our little makeshift fire pit was underneath the roof because we didn't know it was going to shoot up that high. And then all of a sudden it is. So we had, Coulter and I had to run in and like try to drag it out so that it didn't set the roof on fire.
And you had to tape your eyebrows on for several weeks, right?
Yeah, nobody knew that I was surprised because there was no way to tell. But yeah, you've done a phenomenal job in the house looks just so good.
Thanks. So what's your woo moment?
Kind of that, but also the way you did Thanksgiving. This was kind of like a Sarah woo moment of the week. I'm listening. Yeah. Not only did you do a phenomenal job doing a turnaround from Thanksgiving to Christmas, but we had Thanksgiving. We had your entire family. Anybody that they passed on the way up here was picked up. At one point, back me up on this. At one point, we went outside, and I sat down next to a guy and didn't know who he was.
That's
never
true.
Saw him before. And I made a joke, and I was like, "Wow, Dylan, you don't look good," because he was like a 40-year-old
giant man.
Dude. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Dylan is 14. So, and he just goes, "Yeah." And didn't say anything. I was like, no, that's your cue to say, thanks for having me at your house. Like, it took me about an hour to figure out who that dude was. But we had all your family and then whoever
that's
they
invited. That's a sign that we have a warm, welcoming home, isn't it?
Yeah.
I didn't even know he was arriving, so.
And then we weren't even supposed to have Trent and Xander, but Xander found himself wandering over. Mm-hmm. And was here for like several hours to hang out with Coulter, and man, it was just a blast. It was really good. And our other woo moment, we talked about that in church yesterday, which is weird because we're recording Saturday night like we normally do. But I think we're going to talk about this in church tomorrow in our class when we were talking about like prayer requests and stuff. It is so difficult blending a family when you have a bunch of kids. And I, for new listeners, I have three and Sarah had too many, and so we have five total. And it is so difficult because the kids have spent a big portion of their life not having those siblings, not knowing each other and stuff. And this, would you say it was this week or really starting last week?
I would say it's been several weeks. Yeah.
All of a sudden, they just started hanging out. Trent, who's our oldest that's living in the house right now, who always has been kind of a recluse and doing his own thing, he has just been phenomenal about like getting everybody. He's driving them places. He's taking them down to the creek and showing them how to catch, frogs and snakes and, all this stuff. And they're playing games together. Mm-hmm. We played football. He's just way more active, and it changes the whole mood of our house. The way everybody just feels comfortable. It's been a really great time.
It has. It's been wonderful. Is that your woo?
That's my woo.
Aw, that's great. What about a poo moment?
This is kind of an oxymoron, but the poo moment is that we do have to share holidays with our exes.
Oh, that's not a poo moment for me.
Oh, yeah, you get rid of the kids. Yeah,
that's my 10 vacation days.
Well, I guess it would be easier if our kids weren't getting along, if we really, needed to split them up and stuff. That does get to be a welcome break sometimes, but, everybody's getting along so well, and then we're leading into a holiday, and, even my kids forgot that they weren't going to be there, and they were talking about, oh, we're going to do this, is Casey going to cook this, and then I was like, oh, you guys won't be here, and so that's kind of my poo moment. Again, we talked about that in church tomorrow when we go to church. Mm-hmm. Happy Saturday night. I get wanting a different lifestyle and all that other stuff, but it just, those kind of decisions just affect everybody, and so it's hard not to get angry when you have to watch your kids get in the truck and drive away for a holiday that they should be celebrating with you and everybody there. So that was kind of my poo moment, was Trent and Xander, as a according to the decree, which just sounds weird saying, but they were supposed to spend Thanksgiving with their mom. So that was probably my poo moment. Like, we were having such a great time, and I kept wanting to look over and, you know, see my kids laughing or, you know, doing something crazy and stuff like that. So it was kind of a woo and poo blend this time.
Yeah. What's nice about your situation is that your boys are almost literally down the street. So we do get to see, like, last year we didn't have Trent and Xander for Christmas week, but they both got to come over and do presents and spend that time with us. Like, that's a positive side. I mean, that's a, you know, silver lining on the poop cloud, I guess.
Yeah, that should be a holiday gift card.
Silver lining on a poop cloud.
Yeah, here's a silver lining on a poop cloud. I mean, what would a silver lining on a poop cloud gift card be for? It would be like lots of money, but for something you didn't want, like a $85 gift certificate to an all-you-can-eat coconut buffet.
There you go.
Something bad like that. So, all right. Well, let's get into our topic.
Let's do it.
Wait, did you share your poo moment or
you? I didn't. You just you negated my woo moment, and now you've written out my poo moment. I'm used to it.
So
it's a Bob Smiley show.
Besides the last 4 minutes, what's your poo moment?
I don't think I really have one. So you didn't really have to write it out. I love hostessing. Like, it is one of my passions in life to have people in my home and cook for them, and especially when they stay and they feel comfortable. Like, it's just a love language of mine. I think I probably get it from my mom. I've just always grown up in a home where people showed up. We always had 60 people at Thanksgiving, and 20 of them weren't related to us in any way. So I love that. So it was kind of a dream come true to have all that, but it's exhausting. It's absolutely exhausting. You were gone the whole week prior to us having company, and so it was a lot of work. It was great. I'm not complaining. You needed that time and that space, but it was a lot of work to clean and then keep it clean with all the boys around. And it turned into more of a deep clean, which the house needed anyway, but it was a ton of work. So I was exhausted.
And in your cleaning, you discovered things about the house, like one of our toilet seats was broken.
Yeah, something like that. We could call it broken, or we could call it untouchable, whatever you want to say. The house definitely has improved in the last week, I will say.
The toilet seat spirit was broken. Would you say that?
I would definitely say.
So we had to replace a toilet seat and a child.
And a cabinet. No, not really, but. Yeah, so that it was just tiring. That's all it is. It does make me appreciate all the times my mom has hosted us and many other people in her home, just what it takes to cook and clean and prep beds and all that stuff. But we had a really lazy weekend. I feel like it was a godsend that it rained for 2 days, Friday and Saturday.
Yeah.
And so there really wasn't a lot to do. We had to just chill and be in the house and eat leftovers and nap. So that was a recovery too. So I guess I'm undoing my poo moment, but.
You know, you actually bring up a good point, and I was thinking about that when I was at my parents' house, because my mom just always has been a phenomenal cook, and she loves to host like you and, you know, do all this stuff. And I never really thought about all the work it went into to make all that stuff. I know I used to joke on Thanksgiving morning, you know, her and my grandmother and great-grandmother and stuff would get up and be cooking and, you know, doing all that. So I knew it took something, but I always thought it was funny. I would walk in, we would always eat about one or two, and I'd always walk in like right about one and go, oh, I am stuffed, you know, just to watch my grandmother throw something at me because they had been spending hours and stuff. But until I was a single dad and I was, you know, and you went through this, like doing it all, like career and all the, you know, helping kids with homework and all that stuff, and then on top of that to cook dinner and to have lunches made and to have, you know, breakfast and keep the groceries, you know, filled in the pantry and the refrigerator. It is a huge job. And until I started cooking every single meal for me and the three boys, I didn't realize like what just a huge task it was. And so when I was at my parents' ranch this last couple of days, like anytime my mom got up to cook or something, I was always like, you know, hey, can I help you do something? Or you like, I'm a little more conscious of it. And mm-hmm. So I think that's probably something we should do for our boys is just have them be responsible for a couple of meals, you know, once a month or something, just to see, just so they have an understanding of what all it takes to do it.
Well, and just the full process that it is, you know, your grocery store shopping, you're thawing things, you're cooking, and then you're serving, and then you're cleaning up. I think
you need to track down deer.
Yeah. I think you do your kids, especially your sons, a great disservice to have them do their own thing to the point where they come and sit in a chair, eat, and then get up and leave. Like, we've slowly trained the boys to at least rinse their dishes off and put them in the sink. And if the dishwasher's empty or, you know, dirty dishes, they load them. But I think just those little things kind of train them. And then last night they were playing a game all together and they were being really sweet. But I was like, I realized that they were at the end of a round or something and they could pause. And I was like, okay, everybody stop. And was this before they ate? I think it was before they ate.
No, I think it was after, because I was cleaning the kitchen up.
That's right. I was like, everybody, all four of you get up and go in there and empty the dishwasher. And it was done, like, start to finish in, like, 2 minutes.
Yeah.
All four of them doing it. So it wasn't hard at all, but they did.
Yeah, and I appreciate it, because I was in there cleaning the kitchen, and I didn't even think about it. And everybody was in the living room, and so you said – from the couch where you were laying down, you were like, you guys go in there.
I was decorating the tree. And,
hey, this is my podcast.
No, it's not.
My story.
No, and you were cleaning
I really was cleaning the kitchen.
I know, but we had paper plates, no silverware, because we ate burgers. And the meat was cooked in a container that was throwaway. So
right, but there was some meat left, which I'd never seen before. And so
we don't usually have leftovers.
Yeah. So I was bagging up. I tweeted that today.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah. I tweeted that today that our five boys had just started their own business. So if anybody needs help getting rid of their leftovers, to give them a call. Because I thought, what a great business of, like, people are always complaining, like, we have so much leftovers. I'm going to call the Smiley Boys.
Yeah, that'd work.
They'll do cleanup. But it was great. Yeah, we're trying to slowly teach them, you know, responsibility and all that kind of stuff. And it's hard because it's not the same, you know. Again, we have my boys week on, week off. And so I feel like we get them trained to doing chores and stuff like that. And then they leave and they don't have necessarily the same requirements and stuff. And so then they come back and they're so not used to having to do stuff. And so it's just a uphill battle all the time.
It's hard to train an 18-year-old.
Yeah. Yeah.
You could have gotten started before I got here, Bob.
Yeah, I was busy. I was busy trying to find a wife.
Yeah. a trainer partner?
Yeah.
Yeah. You just don't want to be the bad guy. So now you have me and I'm like, get in there and clean those dishes up.
Get off your game. It was funny. You asked Xander, you said, hey, Xander, tell me whenever you're done with your game. And he goes, oh, I'm done with my game. And you were like, I need you to help clean the kitchen. And he goes, oh, I'm in the middle of my game. He had spoken.
And Trent just ignored me and sat on the couch. And I was like, you better get up. Like, you work all week. You won't even be here. Get over there and empty the dishwasher.
Yeah, you
and
were like
the tallest one, so he can reach all the tall dishes.
Yeah, you were like, this is your chore for the week. You're working the rest of the time. So, like, I think you even said, pace yourself. Like, make it feel like a week of chores. So he was laughing at that. It was cool.
Do you remember what our topic is?
I remember what our topic is. Do you remember what our topic is?
You don't remember what our topic is.
I do. You want to know? You don't remember,
what did
you do?
What did you do? Put it to a song?
I wrote it down because I knew you would forget.
I didn't forget.
Today we're going to be talking about memories.
Like, memories, so much more than memories.
Misty watercolored memories.
Oh, God.
The way we were. Do you know a movie?
No.
Well, I mean, it's a famous song, but.
Was I alive?
Yes, we've watched it, I think, together. It had Tom Hanks, and his mom wanted him to sing it to prove it was him. And he was like, memories like the water.
I don't think I know that song.
Misty watercolor. It was big.
Oh.
When she thought he was kidnapped and Oh, so he was calling as the kidnapper.
I have only seen that movie one time, and it was this year.
Yeah.
Can you believe that?
I thought we watched it together.
I don't know.
Yeah. But anyway.
That's where our topic is. Memory.
Memories.
Remembering things.
Because we went out to eat. We had had enough of the kids. And so we try to get out once a week. Just go.
Get enough of each other.
And what? Get enough of each other.
Get enough of each other.
That's right. So we do. We'll go on a date. And it doesn't have to be. It's just getting out of the house and away from everybody else. We have walked down HEB, which is our grocery store, looking for cat food. And guys, we don't have a cat.
Nope.
So we will waste time doing anything. And it usually is fun if we're just
We've gotten to go tacos and set in our driveway in our car.
Yeah.
And they think we're gone, like just to have a meal in peace.
Yeah. So we went out and we were at a Mexican restaurant. We were actually trying out a new one. Mm-hmm. We were looking for a cheaper one that was still good food. And so yep. We were trying this place out and the waiter came to get our order. And so you went first because your order is always like four or five.
A little more complicated.
Yeah. 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 I would like to see the photos of the chicken. I would like my enchiladas tapered at the end this way. I'm showing you with my napkin.
No.
It's a pretty elaborate deal. And then I just like chimichanga, please. Mm-hmm. But as you were telling him all this stuff, he was just nodding. And then I told him my order. And then he walked away. And we both turned to each other and was like, oh, he didn't get any of that. Mm-mm. And we were talking about like some waiters and waitresses just can do that. And they can do that at parties of six. Like just walk around and be like.
And they'll be like, cut the onions and add cheese. And
yeah.
Like it's like regular, it's like really detailed stuff.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
And he got everything right. Like even down to the tapering, like it was pretty cool. And
I'm not that bad.
So we started talking about memories because I listened to a podcast with Mary Lou Henner, who she was really famous on Taxi, but she's, you know, been an actress, but she's also very famous because she has hyperthymesia.
Okay.
Which is the part of memory that you have. It's a strong white matter memory in your brain and it allows you to remember things very, very clearly. And usually it's with dates or what they ate. Like I looked this up. There were like 13 people that you could name any date and they could tell you exactly what they had to eat that morning.
Oh, wow.
And Mary Lou Henner has it and she can tell you what she wore. And so they could name, and on this podcast, the people were like testing her. They had looked up, you know, Golden Globes and award ceremonies that she was at. And they would just say the date and she would be like, oh, that was the Oscars. And I was wearing this, you know, and she knew exactly or what everybody else was wearing around and they have photos to back it up. And so they have that. So I saw this quote talking about it and how we store memories. A lot of people think we store it as a file in our brain. Mm-hmm. So if we can find a way to access the file, but they said it's these brainiacs, these brain studiers. What do you say? I can't find the file in my brain that
I don't know
what they were called when I read this. Anyway, really smart dudes. they said memory is not only a reflection of the original event, but is a product of each time you call it up. So memories aren't fixed. They're dynamically reshaped by our current emotions and beliefs. So you can have something in the past, and every time you bring it up and tell the story, you may add a little bit to it. And so then you get, that's it.
I totally understand this.
Yeah. And so your memory may be changed just by what emotion you are feeling the next time you tell that memory.
Yeah.
And then that's what your brain holds on to. It's almost like a copy of a copy of a copy of something. And
right.
I found that like fascinating. But some people, that memory doesn't change at all. And it's just locked in and they can hold on to it. And you've had some, I would say, interesting memory loss. that sounds mean, but you know what I'm talking about.
Well, so I didn't do a bunch of research like you did because I'm mean.
You have a job. But, yeah, let's just say it. You have a job and you are putting
food. You're actually interrupting me right now, but.
Go ahead.
No, I have in the past that if you experience trauma or tragedy, it can also erase some of the memories around that event, like as a coping mechanism. So when I lost my brother, I was 17, like plenty of age to remember details and stuff, but I have to really conjure up details to, like, if people ask me about stuff, you know. And I think that's just like a healing, kind of a safety, protect yourself mechanism your body does. But then another thing is, I've been in therapy and counseling for years, whether it's over with stuff with my brother or the failure of my marriage or just to stay sane. And as I've gone through some of that, I have literally prayed that even outside of counseling, like, because as you know, going through really difficult emotional things, you tend to replay those scenes and memories. And what if I'd said this and this and that? And it can just terrorize you. It can haunt you. You don't sleep. You don't eat, that kind of thing. So I literally, especially after my divorce, just prayed that God would take away certain memories and feelings. And I really think the devil can use some of that too, to like bring up failures or just insecurities or weaknesses or whatever. So because of that, I don't have a lot of memories. Like when you and I started dating and you ask, and then got more serious and everything, and you would ask things about my marriage or even about college or, you know, dating before that. I mean, stuff like I would have to give you an answer and then say, like, I'll get back to you if I remember something else, because I do not remember. I have very few memories of my childhood. It's odd. So I don't know. I don't know what the science is.
And so it obviously, part of it is a coping mechanism in your brain to help you be able to move on.
Right.
That kind of stuff. I know I had that. Like, there were places that we went to, that my ex and I went to with the other couple that she's now married to. And mm-hmm. I would go there and I wouldn't remember any of that. And then Coulter would be like, yeah, you remember we used to go here with, you know, them, and I would have no memory of it. And so I get a little bit of that, not to the extent of, you know, what all you have gone through and stuff, but how erased is it? Like, do you, and you may not want to talk about this, but like,
I feel like you're going to ask me a serious question, but maybe you're going to make fun of me. So I have to always like brace.
Yeah. Welcome to life with me, baby. Which way do you want me to go? Do you want me to go jokey or go serious?
I don't know. If you're going to go serious, go. Cause I don't feel like you ever do. So
like, because you've kind of talked a little bit about losing your brother, but like, mm-hmm. how much do you remember of that day? Because that was a very traumatic thing to go through.
I would say at this point, pretty vividly. Initially, I think it was difficult, but I would say at this point, yeah, pretty vividly. I think because I've allowed myself to, but I don't dwell to the point where it could be very vivid and upsetting.
Yeah.
If I allow it to be, but I just don't let myself go there.
The reason why I ask is because we were out at Galveston on the beach, mm-hmm. and we were having a really nice time and stuff. And there was a family that was letting their kid go out to the ocean, mm-hmm. and was not supervising. Mm-hmm. And do you remember this?
Yeah.
And you like jumped up and was like ready to go out there. And I looked at you and I was like, oh, she's having like a flashback or, you know, some memory opening.
Well, it wasn't so much that, is that I'm that way all the time, whether it's like at the beach or someone's backyard pool, or like I jokingly say, like, I'm always on lifeguard duty because that's just how I am. It also triggers me in restaurants when there's babies, like kind of toddler babies in high chairs and they're getting fed things. I am like, my whole body tenses up, and you probably, I don't know if you've experienced this yet, but I get really nervous. So especially like Mexican food restaurants and babies being given chips. Like, I've Heimlicked more than one stranger's baby. I will say that. like for real, like they were choking, but I get super nervous about it. So
if they were choking, or
yeah, practicing? Yeah. Okay. Oh no, they were choking. I felt like they were choking to the point of needing assistance. So
one of them just had a mild cough, but
yeah, it didn't. I'm like, I will very quickly like go up to a stranger, like, is your baby okay? Like, I know the Heimlich. I can save your baby if you need to. I'm just gonna be right over there. I haven't really ever had anybody like be too weird about it. So We're like, thanks.
Well, so like I do know because we've obviously spent hours and hours going over our life. When we first met, especially on the phone, we would talk, you know, in depth, just kind of catching up on our lives together. And there would be huge gaps. Like there'd be, you'd be like, and then I don't know what happened from the time I left for college till the time you called me today. You know, there was just like huge gaps in everything. But then you have an amazing memory for like birthdays, like remembering birth dates, and like you memorize credit cards. I mean, I know why. I've seen you in a store now. Like you don't have time to pull the credit card out.
Well, I do have a credit card that I was my very first one in college, mm-hmm. or maybe right after college. I can't remember. So yeah. I've had the same credit card forever.
And it helps that it was way back then. So it was six numbers.
I think it had a $500 limit and I felt like a queen. I mean, my dad, that was one of the things my dad did really well is like teach me how to build credit and manage money and stuff. And so I got a credit card and started building credit very early on. Like he would pay for my books for school, but I would put them on a credit card, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So I have used a credit card for a really long time. And it does come in handy when you're online shopping.
Yeah, you've used it three times today.
But so. also birthdays. Yeah, birthdays are a huge deal to me anyway. I think celebrating people is just like a basic thing you should do. And so like birthdays are really important. I love, like as soon as I have a pretty established relationship with somebody, their birthday's in my phone.
Yeah. So. And you mentioned at the beginning of the podcast, but or you said something about music, and that's like a.
Being homeschooled, we always did a bunch of memorization, usually scripture or, you know, the Greek alphabet like you do, mm-hmm. certain Hebrew phrases. And we learned what?
Like during recess when you're memorizing.
Yeah, just for fun. And we did it to song and or hand motions. And so now that I'm teaching and I'm teaching in a classical atmosphere, there's a ton of memorization. And I'm talking about, you know, 7 and 8 year olds is who I'm teaching. And what they're able to absorb is just incredible. And it's songs, it's hand motions, but they know like all the states of the United States, can point them to on a map, the Canadian provinces. We're doing the capitals now. They know 3 poems, they know over, I don't know, 2 or 3 chapters of scripture that we've learned. Like, it's just incredible what they soak up at that age and with a little song or some goofy hand motions.
Yeah, this is going to surprise the listeners, but I was not academically strong in school. And how do I mute you?
What makes me laugh is, this is what makes me laugh, and you're going to think I'm blowing smoke, but I'm not. You are one of the most quick-witted, brilliantly minded, like think ahead and think about 10 things at once and do them well, persons I have ever met. So for you to say that you weren't good at academics, all that means is you didn't try, because you could have, on just the same spectrum, you could have been phenomenal at school, but you just, I don't think you applied yourself. Because I see you now, and I'm like, you're an exceptionally intelligent human being. I am definitely a sapiosexual, and I was super duper attracted to your brain. So yeah.
Don't rush it. Take your time.
No, I'm done. That's it. So I want to hear your response to that. Do you really think that you're not weren't an academic person, or you just took advantage of the system that you could get away with?
Yes and yes. Mm-hmm. I didn't take it serious, but also I didn't have good learning techniques. Mm-hmm. And so the reason why I brought that up was I watched this TV show called Cheers, mm-hmm. and Coach was the real dumb guy, really sweet, you know, big heart guy, but just dumb as can be. And then Sam Malone was also kind of dumb, but he was kind of the main dude. And they both went back to school, and mm-hmm. Coach, who they thought would flunk and, you know, Sam was going to have to help him, was doing great at school and passing all the night, you know, class tests and all that kind of stuff. And so Sam was like, how do you do it? And he's like, everybody relates to music. And so he said, I'll help you study. And he sang this song. on an episode of Cheers. Albania, Albania, you border on the Adriatic. And I thought, oh, maybe I can learn stuff with songs. So I started learning like my spelling words and all this other kind of stuff with songs and putting like little jokes in it so I'd, you know, be able to remember it. And it went, it went so much better if I could put like songs to it. Or, and I use this with our boys, especially Dylan, or if I can think of a joke that'll go with it, then I can remember stuff because of the joke. Like this guy in history, I was helping Dylan study, and he got burned for his beliefs, and his last name was Crispus. And I was like, come on, dude. Like, you got to be able to remember that. And so from now on, he'll always – you could go to him right now and say that, and he would go, Crispus.
Yeah. Crispus Atticus or Attics or
– I think it was Atticus Crispus. but, yeah, any kind of that, you know, relating to kind of memory stuff is great. So, yeah, music or – anything's funny. That's why I could remember comedy bits or funny movie lines. I could memorize those hearing it one time. You know,
you pull up quotes and actors and scenes and like, you know, their, what's it called? Like discography, basically. Like, you know, all the movies they've been in. I'm just amazed by that.
If it's funny, my brain logs it. Like, I remember being in, we weren't at the church, but it was like a youth group gathering at this girl's house. And I was there and they were talking about going, like getting excused from class to go to the bathroom. And I'd heard this old Bill Cosby album. I should stop and say, you know, scandal noted, you know, so I'm not promoting him, but Bill Cosby's, my dad had the old records of the old stand-up records. And that was some of the first comedy I ever heard. And it was so good. And so I just said a line that I remembered from the records. And I'd only heard the records maybe once or twice at that point.
Right.
And everybody in the living room laughed. And so I did this like 6-minute bit in the living room, almost verbatim, the way Bill Cosby did it on, as his stand-up routine. And the place was dying laughing. And I just had that ingrained in my memory because it was comedy. And
do you remember the movie we watched where the two brothers, was that a true story? The two brothers did the act in the living room, this old.
Oh, Mr. Saturday Night.
Yes. And then the one brother ended up going on, the other brother didn't. It was kind of like that. Like they got the bug, but then the older brother kind of could, or younger, I guess, could pull it off.
His mind was like a museum. He would remember every funny line he ever heard. Milton Berle was that way. You know, he takes a lot of flack from stealing people's stuff, and he did. But Milton Berle, he would hear a joke one time. Or, you know, Robin Williams, for a while, Robin Williams had it set up where if you called his manager and said, hey, Robin stole one of my bits at the Laugh Factory or wherever, they wouldn't even question it. They would just write a check because Robin probably did, because Robin would go in, he would hear somebody's routine one time, and then he'd go across the street and do it, and all of a sudden it would become his material because he would do it better and faster. But he just had that memory, that like almost photographic memory. He would hear the cadence, the rhythm, and it just locked into his brain.
So how do you memorize your bits? Because you are exceptional in that too, whereas you have, you know, if somebody calls you tomorrow and says, I need you tonight for a show with an hour material, you can do it.
So a lot of it is just repetition of just writing it over and over. So I'll just write stuff over and over, especially if it's like a list thing, like the bit about, you know what, I probably couldn't even do it now, but I used to have a bit about me having to say the books of the New Testament in front of my church.
Yeah.
So I'd be like Matthew, Mark, Luke, Leia, C-3PO, Chewbacca, first and second Philadelphia Eagles, Dopey, Sneezy, Doc, Jude.
Oh, I have heard you do that one.
Law, first and second, third gear, and a partridge in a pear tree. Like, I used to do that bit, and it took me a little bit to memorize it. But I would try to write it kind of in the cadence of the Bible, but then see where the jokes are. Any kind of list that I can do out is good. this is a bit that I haven't given up on, but I just haven't like worked on it anymore since like a year ago. But the you and I fighting using Alexa.
With oh, yeah.
Well, I wrote that so it had a flow. So it was like, these boots are made for walking. And then the next line was, go your own way. Mm-hmm. So I had to walk. So yeah. I try to write jokes, but with the multi-layer of it leading into something else that has a little memory of, okay, well, this is the next thing. Our friend Mike Hickman, who's a comedian, he does a version of a tweet song. And I found this fascinating. And I know a lot of people will use this memory technique, but he visualizes everything in his house. And so he puts in his mind, he puts like spiders. He has a tweet about spiders. So he puts spiders like in his sink. So he'll start at the sink and then he'll move over to the toaster and he'll have a joke on bread. And so he knows on the toaster is his joke about bread. And okay. So in his mind, he moves around the room and his little key words are planted, you know, in his mind in that room.
That's fascinating.
Yeah. And so that's how he memorizes stuff. I do, when I'm on stage, people are asking me, you know, like, how do you know where you're going and how do you, cause I'll stop and go off on tangents and all that.
Oh yeah.
And the way, cause I used not to go back and remember to finish bits.
But then you realize you wanted to stay married because it drives me crazy.
It does drive you crazy. But even before that, I would just not finish a bit because I would just go on to something else. But then I would get back to the lobby, you know, to the merch table, and people would be like, which I don't have a merch table here, but people can go to bobsmiley.com and order their Christmas gifts early. But anyway, I would go back to the lobby and people would come up and go, hey, you didn't finish that bit about Chuck E. Cheese, or you didn't finish that bit about the talking Elmo doll. And so I would end up having to do like a second show in the lobby after my show. So I started being like, okay, I really need to finish these bits so it's not leading into something. So what I do, and this is going to sound super crazy, but when I'm on stage, I start at the left side of the audience and above their head, I put little, just one word things and I just keep it up there. So it looks like it is right above their heads in
my mind.
You're
doing this currently? You yeah. still do this? Okay. I'm no, fascinated. Go ahead.
So I'll do, I'm starting out with, murder hornets now in my show. So murder hornets. And then I'll do, our Walmart story of, mm-hmm. you know, and then I'll do, Uber Eats driving.
Mm-hmm.
Then I may decide to do an old bit and I'll do Chuck E. Cheese or something that I didn't plan out. So then I quit building it over, it, you know, the audience's head in my mind. I'll stop with my note taking, you know, as I'm doing it so that the last thing that's up there is Uber Eats driving. So when I'm done, you know, ad-libbing or telling whatever bit that I, you know, just decided to tell at that moment, then I go back up, I look back up and I see Uber Eats and I'm like, oh, okay, next thing of that is Little Rock Airport, you know, and that's how I do it.
That's crazy.
That's how I memorize stuff. Is it like I have these bits, you know, already memorized because of repetition and stuff. But when I'm on stage, I'm building it, like building a show for the audience.
So if I just stand in the back with blank poster boards and just wave them around, is that going to mess you up?
Yeah. Well, if you're standing back there, I'm distracted anyway, baby.
With random words.
Yeah.
But I'm born.
Yeah. Yeah, scruffy pineapple. But yeah, I'm just fascinated with how people's minds work and, you know, the memory. I still want to call him my brother-in-law. He was married to my ex's sister.
Okay.
And he was from England. He was a super cool dude. She actually had an affair. I'm realizing.
No, we don't have to get into that.
No. So anyway, they split up. It was really sad. And, but we are still friends and we text, you know, quite a bit and stuff. But when he moved over here, he has a photographic memory. And so he wanted to learn all the presidents to start with. And so I printed them out and he would go, okay, show them to me. And I would show him the page of all the presidents. And he would just look and he would take about 20 seconds to look at it. And he'd go, all right, quiz me. And I'd quiz him and the sucker knew, and I needed the sheet to know if he was right. He would give me the numbers and all that stuff. And it was insane. And I don't know how like minds work like that. And Hawkins is the same way. We've written song lyrics on the tour bus headed to a show, and that night he's performing the song with the lyrics that we wrote, or a bit. Like we've been sitting on the bus like right before a show, and we'll just start joking around. He'll be like, "Hey, that's a good bit. Can I use that?" And I'll be like, "Yeah." And he'll be like, "Okay." And then boom, he's just done. Like he goes out and just does it verbatim the way we did it. And it's just insane. So
that is crazy.
So this is the last thing I want to talk about, but I did look up a few ways to improve your mind. So we,
great. Does it involve sandwiches?
What?
Does it involve sandwiches?
Yes.
No.
That's all the research said.
No.
It is two sandwiches a day.
No. Read what it says.
It says that things that are good for you is green tea. It activates your working memory. They said exercise is essential because it stimulates the entire body. Exercise and a sandwich is what it says. Mm-hmm. It just gets your adrenaline flowing, which it gets your brain going. And so exercise is very key. Here are the two other things they said that was very good for your brain is piano tuning. They've done research on people that tune pianos because you're sitting there and you're doing all these mechanic stuff, but you're listening intently. Mm-hmm. And they also said riding a motorcycle because you're changing gears, you're moving in and out of lanes, you're balancing, watching other, that's what they said, I promise
that's
you.
That's great, you are not doing that.
It stimulates
focus. I'll get you a piano.
How about I play some piano music as I'm riding my motorcycle?
Nope.
Here are the bad things for you, and you guys probably already know this, but junk food, it stops brain cells from responding, frequent eating. They said fasting sharpens the mind.
Which that's what we're trying to do.
Yes, we are doing that. And also working near MRI scanners. That was the three things that were bad. They said magnetic fields diminish working memory.
So stay away from the x-ray machine.
Yeah. So that's it. You know, if you want to boost your memory, drink some green tea as you're riding your motorcycle to your gym.
And play the piano.
Yeah. Once you get there. But that's it. God has given us, I think, you know, phenomenal meat computers in our head, to quote Hawkins. And
gosh, that sounds graphic to me.
I think we need to take care of them. All right, I got to go.
You got to go where?
I've had a lot of green tea.
Okay.
All right, guys, we hope you enjoyed this. And we hope your week is full of woo moments.
Wait, we didn't read reviews, babe.
Okay, and can you read them while and I'll be back?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, so we got some really great feedback this week. I absolutely love reviews. That's why I was excited about the phone line. So you guys can call in at any time. 7605-SMILE2 is the number, and leave us a message. But I wanted to read one of the reviews that we got last week. It came from StacyA1123, and her review title says, "This is so great. Hi, guys. I love your podcast. I didn't start listening from the beginning, but I had to start at the beginning, if that makes any sense, because I wanted to hear them all. That does make sense. That's exactly how I would do it, Stacy. I am still not caught up to present day, but I will be soon, I hope. Even though I'm not caught up yet, I wanted to tell you, thank you for doing this podcast. You're welcome. Bob and Sarah compliment each other so well. I could write a really long review, but maybe I will have to make it a second part or something. I don't know, but I love this. Keep it up. We are thrilled to have your allegiance, Stacy, your dedication to listening to all the podcasts. And we also just love our fans. We are excited about hearing from you guys more often and being able to bounce off of that, discuss it, and include you guys more in the podcast. If you have any questions for us, you can always find us or want to know more about our daily lives. You can find us on Instagram at hookline and smiley. We also have an email address, hookline and smiley@gmail.com. And of course, Bob is super present on social media. So he has a Facebook page, he has an Instagram page, he probably has all kinds of other social media pages that I don't even know exist. So we'll put all of those in the notes. And we hope you guys have a week full of woo moments and not poo moments.
Okay, but I'm back.
Bye. You are one of the most brilliantly minded persons I have ever met.
Don't rush it. Take your time.
No, I'm done.